Lifetime are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to The Drive Time. This is our weekly installment of consider-this.ca with our good friend Rob Washburn, who is with us in the studio. And joining us today is Andy Sparling of the Commodore Orchestra. But before we get to that, we're going to have a bit of a musical interlude. But before we get to our conversation, though, I thought it would be wonderful to hear some music from the Commodore Orchestra. Let me give you a quick background on it. The Commodore's Orchestra is probably Canada's oldest continuously operated big band, big swing band, as it were. Its first gig was to open the Bay of Quinte Golf and Country Club way back in 1928. That's right, listeners, 1928. And they've been playing big band swing era classics ever since. Recently, its library has been updated to include modern arrangements of many of the great standards. Its personnel include the finest professional and semi-pro musicians the Quinte area has to offer. Vocalist Joanne Wheeler and Craig Perry are just to name a couple of folks who've been there. They revisit the tunes made famous by singers such as Peggy Lee and Ella Fitzgerald, Helen Forrest, Helen O'Connell, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and many, many others. Before we get to our conversation, as I said, we are going to listen to a track right here. This is Canadian Sunset from the Commodore Orchestra.
Thank you.
Yeah, the Commodores Orchestra right here on Truly Local Radio Northumberland 89.7. Joining me in the studio is Andy Sparling. Andy, who is currently, I guess you're the director of the band
I'm the leader of the band.
The leader of the band. That's it. And so he's obviously very happy to be part of this sound. As I say, going back to 1928. Now, you're also writing a book on the band, right?
I am.
Is this the first book?
It is the first book, my first book and the band's first book. 1928, that'll be 90 years in 2018. And I've been looking for 10 years or 15 years to find a band of this genre. I call it big swing. They weren't exactly big swing bands in 1928, but I can't find one that's older. Not Ellington, not Basie, not Glenn Miller, not I can't find one. So I'm making the claim. The Guinness Book of Records just wants you to know I submitted the claim to them, and they said, just can't substantiate it. We're not saying you're lying, but we can't tell you that it's true either. So, but I've been looking.
So the longest established swing band in North America anyway.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, again, until someone can come up with an argument saying that's not the case, we're going to go with it. Because, and let's think of it. Some of the greatest swing band leaders were Canadians as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know. And some of them actually played at Club Commodore, that the Commodores ran their own nightclub. Mark Kenny and his Western Gentleman was a huge, you know, I mean, and of course, not exactly big band, but Oscar Peterson, the jazz pianist, who Duke Ellington called the Maharaja of the keyboard, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Canadian jazz has been well served by so many of these bands. Maynard Ferguson, yep, who went south of the border and had an incredible career. Phil Nimmons, 9+6, Phil Nimmons, Canadian, could have gone south, could have done a whole lot of stuff, but chose to stay in Canada to do his jazz here.
Andy, I know not everybody's familiar with this kind of music, and you called it a swing band. Could you tell us what a swing band is and how is it different from other kinds of bands with these sounds?
You bet. Okay, so in a nutshell, if you take 2/8 notes, all right, quarter notes are one on the beat. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, 2/8 notes are 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. So you got two notes per beat. A swing band or swing music means you make the 2/8 notes long and short. Instead of da 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 da, you go da 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 da. That's what swing music is, and essentially that's the difference.
I just thought it was music that made your body swing. Because the minute I started hearing that, this is one of the reasons why I played that track as we were leaving, folks, Sing, Sing, Sing by Benny Goodman. I mean, the minute you hear that, your feet start moving, your hips start swinging, and next thing you know, you're imagining yourself, you know, swinging some woman across the room. And
David, I'm telling you, the reason your body's swinging is because the 8th notes are long and short.
Yeah.
Okay? That's it.
So
plus, you got drummers are good drummers. They have something to do with
drummers.
It, too.
That's damn right. Good drummers.
How does this type of music, how did it grow popular, and where does it come from?
Comes from, well, okay, in a nutshell, the big band era is in the books attributed to Benny Goodman in 1936, who had this band, and he was plying his craft all over America, doing desperately ill-attended one-nighters.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, one night in 1936 in California, the kids caught on because they were doing this kind of swing music. It was music that was beyond the kind of the schmaltzy, beautiful love song vocals and the ricky-ticky-ticky music of the 20s and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Black bands, guys by the name of Fletcher Henderson, Jimmy Lunsford, in the 30s were developing this music. And this is the story of black music, once again, just like rock and roll, being made acceptable for white audiences. So this was kind of rock and roll 20 years before mm-hmm. rock and roll happened. So in 1936, Benny Goodman arrives in California to that one concert, and that is kind of officially noted as the kickoff to the swing era with his band. Fletcher Henderson is a guy, though, who Benny Goodman's money of his original arrangements were because of bands like Fletcher Henderson
right.
prior to that.
Well, an interesting story, too, because, and you mentioned this, if you watch the Benny Goodman story with Steve Allen, they talk, this scene actually happens where they're playing and nobody's dancing.
That's right.
There's a bunch of people sort of milling around the room. People are actually starting to leave. And he looks at his band and just says, you know what? Screw it. Let's just do this. And they start, and they just start playing. And it's, you know, I mean, at that point, the audience turns around and they start moving back into the room. And at one point, they're not dancing now. They're just staring at the band. The guy who's running the hall is thinking, you guys, this is it for you. We're not, you're not doing another concert here. You guys are out of here. This was sort of the equivalent of what happened when rock and roll was first played too, right?
Exactly.
Because the kids got into it and they weren't dancing. Yeah. They were just staring, and standing at the band was like, what the hell are we doing? Are we doing something wrong? And next, they went into the next track and bam, the floor erupted. So... And that's how swing was born in America anyway. But, you know, as you say, we were playing it up here at the Commodore Club.
That's right. Yep.
What is your earliest memory of listening to swing music that it made an impression on you?
My father, excuse me, he was a musician. He was a wartime musician, played in one of the greatest swing bands that Canada ever produced, the RCAF Streamliners, during World War II. But when he got home after the war, got his grade 12, got his university education, but he played in bands every Friday and Saturday night for as long as I could live. My mother got really mad at him because here I was 9 or 10 years old, and she didn't think he was spending enough time with his kids. His solution was to take me on the road with him. So Friday and Saturday nights in the summer, of course, because not during the school year, he would take me to all the dance halls up along the shores of Lake Huron and Lake Erie. And so my earliest memory is of, as a 9 or 10 year old, going with that band. It was a 11-piece dance band along the lines of Guy Lombardo, who incidentally sold more records than Elvis, Sinatra, or the Beatles. Okay, just want to lay that out there. And so I would be exposed to this music every Friday and Saturday night in the summer, and I would set up the bandstand and so on and so forth. So it was my dad up there playing solos to I Left My Heart in San Francisco. That is my earliest musical memory. And then a trombone player in the band who got up and played I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, which was Tommy Dorsey's theme song,
yep.
And that was why I decided at 11 I wanted to play the trombone, and I have ever since.
There you go. Well, you know what? This is fascinating, and we hope you're just as riveted as we are. We're going to play some more of their music in just a couple of moments. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, more of our conversation with Andy Sparling and the Commodore Orchestra. They're Canadian, folks. You know, a lot of countries get the credit for this, but we've, as you say, and I'm gonna challenge the Guinness Records book as well by saying the longest continuously performing swing band in the world. Listeners, we'll be right back.
In a world overpopulated with late night TV shows, how about a radio one?
Hi, I'm Pat Quigley, and I'm the host of Tomorrow Tonight, where every week myself and a different co-host talk about interesting topics, play games, listen to some awesome music, and ask some all-important questions. Heck, we'll even take your tweets and read them live on air. You know, if they're good enough. And if you send us any.
That's Tomorrow Tonight. Check them out Saturday from midnight till 2, only on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Beat the hot, humid weather this summer with Pritchard's Climate Care. Have your home cool and comfortable by installing an air conditioner from Pritchard's Climate Care starting at only $2,800. For a free estimate, call 905-885-8216, 905-885-8216, or visit their website, pritchard-mechanical.com. At Pritchard's, we're not just your climate care experts, we're your neighbors.
Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio, is looking for a mature, confident, self-reliant individual to sell radio advertising. This position will be of interest to an individual who would like to employ their people skills by meeting with various members of this region's business community. You'll enjoy meeting and creating long-term working relationships, aiding them in creating their advertising and marketing campaigns. This is a part-time position offering competitive commission package with flexible working hours. We will provide sales training and support to help you succeed in this position. If you're interested, please email resume to info@northumberland897.ca. Attention, Linda LeBlanc.
Come out Wednesday, August 31st to Hometown Bingo for their matinee and 7 p.m. sessions, Back to School Customer Appreciation. All regular games will be increased by $50. Second Chance Jackpot, $500. All patrons will receive a $10 coupon, valid from September 1st to September 9th. We are located at 884 Division Street. Call us at 905-372-5426 or visit us online at hometownbingo.ca. Our license number is 7884.
And welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. Here is the Commodore's Orchestra again with their rendition of On the Sunny Side of the Street, one of my favorites from this time, by the way. Here we go. ¶¶ up for them. That's the Commodore Orchestra, ladies and gentlemen, and they are the oldest continuously operated swing band in Canada, probably the world, let's face it, as Andy said. There's no way to prove it, obviously, very difficult, but at this point, I don't think there's any comers from the U.S. saying that, yeah, we're still playing, we've been around since 1926, what are you talking about? It's not happening, there's nobody out there doing that.
Andy, where do the people who belong to the orchestra currently come from?
It's been a Belleville-based orchestra most of these years, but because of the scarcity of horn players of this caliber and musicians who can do it, we draw off. It's truly a regional operation. So Belleville-based, but only three of us from Belleville. Two or three players come from Cobourg. We've got two or three going from Peterborough. We've got two or three coming from Kingston, and we've got another three or four from Prince Edward County. So no surprise that we rehearse in Trenton, because geographically that's about the center. So, a lot of people are driving an hour each way to come to rehearsal.
Now, some of these people are not just amateurs like yourself. Some of them have had professional gigs in the past. Can you tell us a bit about them?
Absolutely. We have two Grammy award-winning musicians, not Juno, I'm talking Grammys. Brian Barlow, who is not our regular drummer but fills in for us anytime, and Bob Leonard, who is our lead alto saxophone player, both spent 30 years with Rob McConnell and the Boss Brass. These are players who played in Los Angeles in the very best clubs before all of Hollywood's megastars who were lined up around the block to go and see them play for mm-hmm. Rob McConnell and the Boss Brass. So they're now resettled in our area and still doing some music, but because the Commodores, really, there's a lovely big band right here in Cobourg, by the way, the Royals, which is an offshoot of the yep. Cobourg Concert Band, mm-hmm. which I've had the happy position of having to sub in on one occasion for that. But, there aren't very many of us left, right? So to have these musicians of this caliber, it's incredible. We're on a bit of a wave. Now, I will say, too, that just about every musician in our band, though, has professional experience. Some of us are semi-professionals. Mm-hmm. But, the players who are coming from Peterborough, for example, our lead trumpet player, you went to North Texas State University. That was the Stan Kenton Factory Musicians of the States. He taught at Humber College for a while. We're just about to have a new piano player come down from Campbellford, Steve Holt, who is a jazz player who plays with Terry Clark in Terry Clark's trio, Terry Clark being probably one of the best drummers in the country, if not the world as well. We have, and of course, people coming from Cobourg here. I'm thinking of my friend Trevor and oh my gosh, last name escapes me right at the moment. But so the musicians are not just musicians who are going out for a good time socially to rehearse. We are serious about the music because we want to be as good as we can possibly be.
Now, how many gigs will you do in a year?
We'll do six or seven. We do an annual Trenton Big Band Festival. Mm-hmm. We do an annual show at the Sterling Festival Theater. Coming up on October the 2nd. We're doing mm-hmm. a swing dance showcase. So we're bringing in some professional dancers from Toronto to demonstrate foxtrots and jives and cha-chas and bosses and sambas and you name it. That kind of thing is what wow. we're going to do. That's October 2nd at the Sterling Festival Theater. We do an annual concert in the park in Belleville. We do various things that crop up as well. We recorded a CD 2 years ago. It was live at the Sterling Theater, which we're hearing. So these projects come up, and usually one or two things will be an annual gala event, for example, we'll play where somebody really wants to gussy it up and be fancy, and we can do that.
Mm-hmm. And how many times do you get together to rehearse?
Twice a month. We rehearse in Trenton, because the musicians come from an area that is, bounded by Peterborough, Cobourg, Kingston, and Prince Edward County. So Trenton is the geographical center. Cuts everybody's drive down somewhat. So twice a month. And, we're even doing it in January and February. These people are driving a long way because they love the music so much.
Now, you said you started music training when you were 11. When did you get involved with the Commodores?
When I moved to Belleville in 1987 to teach, my wife and I saw a notice in the paper said, "The Commodores at the Pier." And we both looked at each other and we said, "Oh my gosh, Lionel Richie is coming to Belleville?" And so we went down there, and no, But what was there was this beautiful big swing band playing big full moon out right by the water, hundreds of people dancing on the pier to this music, you know. And, of course, I hadn't played my horn in 15 years because I'd been in the news racket like you were. And so I'd never had time, and I'd almost sold the damn thing. And I turned to my wife and I said, you know what, I got to get back and do this. And so that was the start. I was crawling. I got back into the town brass band. My lip was hanging off my face the first time I went out. But I kept at it. And I got back to the point where I got it back. And it was because of that night on the damn pier at Belleville that I did.
When did you first play with them?
Well, about 4 or 5 years later, I'm playing in the town brass band. I met a couple of guys who were in the band. And one of them was the late Stan Wiggins, who was an incredible trumpet player who led the band at the time. He was he learned how to play trumpet by listening to Harry James records and memorizing all of the solos, and he played exactly like Harry James. Could have gone professionally with any of the bands in that era down there. So he, you know, so I kind of stayed close to him because I wanted to get in that band. And so about 4 years later, you know, I have to tell you, other than the birth of my first child, maybe my wedding,
maybe.
You know, he said, Andy, how'd you like to come with the band? So he actually wrote out, at the time there were only two trombone players, he actually wrote out parts so I could play third trombone in the band. So that was 25 years ago. So
wow.
I never thought I'd be leading the damn thing because, you know, I'm only doing it because really nobody else wanted to do it. It's a lot of work. But I'm, you know, I'm retired, so what the hell? It's a labor of love.
Now, with all the music that you've done, surely there must be some stories in there about things that happen when you're playing music. Can you share with us a memory or a story, something most memorable moment?
Okay, there have been a number of them. I have to tell you, I guess what comes to my mind, because of the fact that I had been in the Commodores and, you know, I opportunities started knocking on the door. So this may seem a little incongruous, but what happened to me 5 years ago, because I was in the band and playing, got to know a whole lot of other musicians, I got the opportunity to play with the world-famous Temptations when they came to Belleville and they went to Markham and Hamilton, and I got on the road with the Temptations for 3 or 4 gigs. And so, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven because here I am playing in front of 1,500 people in Hamilton Place in Hamilton and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's what kind of really sticks out. Here we are talking about the big band and so on. But, you know, I have to, the thing that stands out for me, Rob, when I first moved to Belleville and you and I got to know each other teaching at Loyalist College, I would go to sleep at night when I first joined the Commodores thinking, I would dream about leading a band in my community where my friends would come and hear it and they would, you know, and they would be wowed by the fact of how good it is. And I never, ever thought that I would be in a position, and it's happened. Like, to me, that's the thing that stands out for me the most. This is a dream realized, you know, and I mean, how lucky am I, you know?
Well, it's true.
Unbelievable.
On that note, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of our conversation with Andy Starling, and we are talking about the Commodores Orchestra, which are still around, listeners, coming up on 90 years very soon. And I don't know if you're still going to be with them in 15 years or so, but it could be. What's going to happen with the centennial? Geez, are you guys already starting to plan for that? That's a question we'll leave you with. We'll be right back with more of our conversation right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. This is The Drive Time.
Get on your bikes and ride!
Northumberland 89.7 is saying farewell to summer with one big event. That's Thursday, September the 1st. Come on down to Victoria Park, Coburg, starting at 6 p.m. for Bike, Beards, and Bandshells, featuring yoga instructor Ginny Burke. On stage, we welcome Juno Award winner Kiki Escamilla, who will pedal into Coburg for this free concert. Escamilla will be joined by fellow Toronto-based musicians Benjamin Herman and Andy Mack. Audience members are encouraged to hop on one of the stationary generators to help power the concert, which will be 100% pedal power. This concert is hosted by Northumberland 89.7 FM as part of the Music in Motion series and is sponsored by Cameco, Pat and Rob's Ice Cream Store, Jailhouse Tavern and Inn, Long & McQuaid, Kim Rudd, Lou Rinaldi, and United TV Stereo. Details at northumberland897.ca. For more information on the artist, go to www.bikesandbandshells.ca. Bikes, Beards, and Bandshells, September 1st, with Northumberland 897, truly local radio.
It's time for a jailbreak. Imprison yourself with incredible food at the jailhouse. Homemade burgers, 89-cent wings every Wednesday, Thursday night date night, Friday steak night for just $16. All new rib night Saturday, $17. Live entertainment Friday and Saturday nights and Sunday afternoons on the patio at the old Coburg Jail. The Jailhouse Tavern, 77 Albert Street, Coburg, and online at thejailhouse.ca.
The birds are tweeting, and so are we. Follow us on Twitter at TrulyLocal897.
Don't worry about me. I'll get along. Forget about me. Happy my love. Let's say that our little show is over, and so the story ends. Why not call it a day? A sensible way. And still be friends. Look out for yourself. Should always be the rule. Give your heart and your love to whomever you love. Don't you be a fool. Stop to cling to some fading thing that used to be me. If you can forget, don't you worry about me. Should you cling to some fading thing that used to be? If you can forget, don't you worry about me.
Love that horn. And that's the Commodore Orchestra. Now, that was live at the Stirling Festival Theater in Stirling, Ontario on September 28th, 2014. And we are proud to have the leader of the band in the studio with us right now, Andy Stirling. And we've been talking about just the history of your how you got into it It's got to be tough, though. I mean, you know, you used to see those the video footage or the old film footage of guys traveling around on a bus, and you literally fill up the entire bus with a 19-piece orchestra, right? That's got to be tough. I mean, it's got to be tough to book the act as well. Huh? Has it been any easier in recent years with the resurgence, if you will, and the big band sound? A lot of people are sort of getting into it again.
Yeah. It's really hard booking a big band these days, You know, I mean, there are no permanently established big bands left who do nothing but big bands. So the best big bands in Canada are all comprised of musicians who will come together for, you know, the best one in Canada played at the Prince Edward County Jazz Festival Sunday night, the Brian Barlow Big Band, who's the drummer on this CD. And all of those musicians do, the top musicians in Canada, just they have all these other careers in jazz and teaching and so on, and they just come together, you know, five or six times a year to play because that's all there is. So it's hard. I mean, economically, you know, it's a long shot because, you know, you want to pay, you know, 19 pieces. What are you going to do? You're going to pay a trio? Are you going to pay a disc jockey? Or are you going to pay a big band? You know, you got to really like the music if you're going to hire a big band.
Oh, sure enough.
How do you keep up to date, modern in that sense? Because we've talked about music from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. How do you keep it so that audiences in 2016 still think you're with it?
That's a really interesting question because what modern big jazz orchestras are doing, which is kind of how the form is now, if you're a modern jazz orchestra, you're playing stuff that has no relationship to dancing. This music that we do is all about dancing because that's what it comes from. Modern jazz orchestras are doing things that are jazz and improvisation, and it's not about dancing. So what we have done and what, you know, we are a nostalgia act, no question. But because of our new arranger, Brian Barlow, who's doing our stuff, he takes old standards, gives them a fresh twist. You still know that that's the tune, that's On the Sunny Side of the Street, or that's Canadian Sunset, or whatever. But it is done in such a way that it is brought up to date. It's a fresh sound. It's not exactly like you would hear it. So let's face it, the people who listened to the bands in 1940s basically are all dead now. So the audiences that we get, they're 50 years old. These are 60s kids who grew up in the 50s and the 60s. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of like to see our music because their parents liked it, right? So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they're not really familiar unless it's In the Mood, which you, if you deviate and don't play the original range of In the Mood, you're going to be in trouble as a band like us. But otherwise, you know, the band can sound a little bit fresher for that crowd because of the fact that the original listeners are not here anymore.
Now, Dave, you're a big fan of this kind of music. How did you become interested in it?
To be honest with you, I got interested in it because of my grandparents and my parents. Actually, my mother loves to listen to this stuff as well, but you know, for the same reason. I mean, you put it on and you can there for me. There was an immediate feeling that, you know, sort of was buried in the back of my brain. Mm-hmm. That, you know, told me this was really entertaining, which is, of course, what it was. But my grandfather, you know, I got to give kudos to him. I mean, he used to have a Legion in the back of his house when I was a kid growing up, and I've told the story 1,000 times. But he would have guys there. We would always hear big band music coming out of the speakers in his backyard. I mean, he used to have Charlie Brown, the Royal Canadian Armed Forces Band, the band for the Canadian Forces, would rehearse in his backyard. On Warriors Day, the big bands would come in. And, of course, that was a big, you know, Army-style band. But they played some of the incredible swing music you could hear from this band as well. They didn't just play, you know, military marching music. They played incredible swing music as well. Yeah. And when you get to hear that, especially as a small child, I'm talking like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and you really, I mean, for me, this is one of the reasons I think it goes to the whole I have an old soul kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I listen to music that's two generations older than me. Even my wife will say to me, God, do you know any new music? You know, but for me, I mean, people listen to music for all kinds of reasons. I have always listened to music as a way of sort of mellowing out, you know, and for me, it's a good way to, you know, sort of get on an even path. That's why I never got into the loud, you know, heavy rock music or the heavy metal music, because that kind of music makes me anxious. This music makes me happy. And then I think that's probably what it does for so many other people.
Yeah, I think for me, and maybe it's because of the way I grew up with my dad and so on, but this is the music that really moves me, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm listening, I'm listening for new arrangements. So I'm listening to bands and what they're doing on, you know, and it's very easy to, you know, to find. And I'll listen to that, and man, there's a certain swing, and it just, you know, oh, gee, man, that we've got to have that one, you know? And that,
exactly.
So that's how it works.
Well, and I mean, you obviously, did you not grow up listening to any of this music at all when you were growing? You said your father listened to it a bit.
My dad listened to it a bit. My grandparents liked it, but I'm not as a music aficionado like the two of you. I'm also interested, though, Andy. You're starting to write a book about the band. And could you tell us a bit about the process of writing that book? And what's that like to start to find things and be able to start putting them together?
Okay, so 90 years is a long time to cover. I have been kind of a pack rat for 20 years. So I've kept things that appeared in the paper and so on and so forth. And finally people, you know, and I've got photographs. And as old guys retired from the band and I said, well, hey, do you have any pictures and so on? So I have a base of stuff. So then I said, okay, well, I'm going into the library and I'm going to go through the Belleville Intelligencer as much as I can from 1928 until the present day. Well, first of all, I had everything basically from 1990 on. So I just went through the Belleville Intelligencer and I gathered a lot of stuff about, you know, when they played, advertisements, where they played, and so on and so forth, got copies of all that and so on and so forth. Have lots of photographs and so on from that end. I went to Queen's University in the archives because the band had a relationship with Queen's. They played four or five times a year there for medical engineering graduations and found out, going through the Queen's archives, for example, that the band played one night, the same night that Count Basie's band was there, and Count Basie put out a call for, I need a trumpet player because my trumpet player didn't make it from New York. I need the best trumpet player within 100 miles, of course, then. And so what happened? Jimmy Elliott, the trumpet player for the Commodores Orchestra, gets into Count Basie's band in 1939 and plays with Count Basie's band and has a picture to prove it and is still alive in Tilsonburg. And he told me this story because I saw in the Queen's University archives that the band played the same night that Count Basie did. By the way, I was doing that interview with Jimmy Elliott, and he said, and I said, Jimmy, anything you want to tell me before I, because I'd done an interview with him, right? Anything you want to tell me that I haven't asked you? He says, yeah. Can I tell you about the night I played with Basie? Oh, okay, stop the presses. Okay.
You played with Basie? Wait a second here.
Another night at Queen's University, I don't want to go on and on, but another night, they played with Teddy Wilson, the pianist, who was the black piano player who broke the color barrier with Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall in New York, the famous jazz concert in 1938. So I did that. For example, I discovered that the band played at Crow Lake in the summer of 1933, four nights a week. How did I find that out? Because at Queens, I said, you know, I found out that the band was being billed as the new sensation of Central Ontario, the Commodore's Orchestra, just fresh from Crow Lake Pavilion, you know, and they played four nights a week. The Belleville papers, for them, this is the real, if you guys don't mind me going on for a second here, this is what really got my attention. This band in Belleville, there were two dance halls downtown. One was the Trianon Ballroom, which is on the second floor of what is now a Bank of Nova Scotia, I think it is, on the corner of, right downtown Belleville. They played three nights a week in the 30s there. There was a dance hall just down the street on Front Street called Club Vanity Fair. They would play there occasionally. And they played at Club Commodore, which was a building that they leased from the Belleville Fair Board and made it their own nightclub. So from 1938 to 1947, this band is playing four and sometimes five nights a week. These are guys who all hold jobs. They have day jobs. These are gigs that go till like from 9 till 2 in the morning. At Club Commodore, for example, one night I find in the Belleville Intelligencer, New Year's Eve, 1947, right straight from New York, Arlene Thompson, vocalist, right from New York. Oh, sure. I look at the paper and I say, well, you know, probably some nobody who's on the downside of her career. I'd never heard the name. Find on the internet that she was, in fact, had sung in all the swanky New York clubs in the early 40s, mid-40s. They flew her up here for one night, New Year's Eve, charged $4 a head at the Club Commodore. The best bands in Canada, it wasn't just the Commodores, played at Club Commodore, too, right in Belleville. Mark Kenny and his Western Gentlemen, Ellis McClintock, these were the top bands from Toronto who came out to Belleville to play. So it's just I've been gathering all of this stuff and asking anybody in Cobourg, because I know a lot of people from here in Cobourg went to Club Commodore. That was the place. And I'm saying, if you have anything, pictures, photographs, memories, whatever, I'm gathering. And that's how this stuff is coming to me.
Now you said these people had day jobs before they would play at night. What sort of people were they that were in the band? What did they do in their day jobs?
One guy, Larry Brown, he was the lead saxophone player. He was the leader of the band in the late 40s. He was a mechanic in Belleville. What could this mechanic do? He listened to records and then could copy the parts out for 14 different horn players. You know, he could basically write every part out. Then it's called lifting in the business, right?
Yeah.
And before copyright became such a huge issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another guy worked for London Life. Stan Wiggins, a trumpet player. London Life told him in 1949 or 50, says, "We really don't want you working playing in the band because we think it cuts into your selling of life insurance." So he had to quit the band for 4 years. Another guy was a dry cleaner in Belleville, Bruce Parsons. You know, so these were just normal people. But I have it on pretty good authority, too, that, you know, generally speaking, in professional music circles, that band was considered, between Toronto and Montreal, was basically the best band that there was going in that 10-year period. Now, it got really lame after that. Rock and roll television happened, and then, you know, you're grasping and hanging at straws. Band almost died one night. I'll just say one more thing. In the late 60s, early 70s, mm-hmm. the band is bringing in ringers from Toronto. The full-time members of the band, they're down to about eight or nine of them, mm-hmm. and they bring in these ringers just to keep the band going. They forego their own pay in order to pay these guys from Toronto to play. They bill the final night at the Trenton Knights of Columbus Hall. Final Commodores night. Well, so many people showed up that they decided, okay, well, we'll keep it going. You know, so they did. And through the 70s and 80s, it's a little meager. You're down to two or three jobs a year, you know, and the music's not that good and they're not rehearsing, but they kept going. And so, you know, it's just a little bit of an uptick in terms of what we're able to do now. We're on a bit of a roll right at the moment.
Amazing story.
We're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Andy Starling and his conversation on the Commodores. The longest standing swing band in the world. We'll be right back after the break.
Hi, this is Lane White with What's Happening This Week. Wednesday, we've got the Showcase of Delectables to support the United Way at the Lions Community Center on Elgin Street, $15 a ticket. Also, it's the Coburg West High School 15th reunion. They will be meeting at the Best Western from 11:30 till 4 p.m. You can contact 905-377-9706. Thursday at the Port Hope Band Shell, Port Hope's own mini Scottish tattoo with the Port Hope Pipers, the Coburg Pipers, and the Macklin Scottish Highland Dancers. Also Thursday night, the Haunted House Ghost Tour at 9 p.m. in Coburg. Tickets at Victoria Hall. Friday, we have the Coburg Dance Club at the Columbus Community Center at 232 Spencer Street from 7:30 till midnight with admission at the door. Saturday, if you didn't get to Calgary this year, we've got the Rose Knee Pro Rodeo. The fairgrounds on County Road 45, there'll be bull riding, cattle roping, and children's activities. Sunday, step into Sundays at the Wesleyville Church from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. If you have an event, you can reach us at info@northumberland897.ca. I'm Lane White with What's Happening.
I'm here with Ed White on the job. We're inside my refrigerator, and guess what?
It was a minor repair, well worth fixing, for far less than a new one.
Thanks, Ed. That's Ed White, Appliances, 51 Mill Street South, Port Hope, 885-7109.
Keep your dial locked right here at 89.7 Truly Local Radio.
And welcome back to the show. I'm going to play this track in the background here so we can listen to it while it's playing. And my guest has been Andy Starling.
Sparling.
Thank you. I got it wrong probably three or four times. Andy, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you, David.
It was a great pleasure. It was an introduction for our listeners to the reintroduction for some people to the Commodores Orchestra. And the recording is live from the Sterling Festival Theater. My guest as well, Rob Washburn, as always, I want to thank you very much. When is your book going to be published, you think?
We're planning a book launch and a big gala event in Belleville in November of 2017, so a year from November.
There you go. Well, folks, look for it on your bookshelves. It is going to be, what's the title of the book?
Work in Progress. I'm thinking of Dances, Dreams, and Decades, but I'm not sure it's going to end there yet.
There you go. Thanks again, and we'll take you out with this. Thank you very much, listeners. But now I find that I
Why'd you have to turn off all that sunshine? Oh, baby, please come back or you'll break my heart for me. 'Cause I don't want to walk without you. About you, baby. I thought the day you left me behind, I'd take a stroll and get you right off my mind. But now I find that I don't want to walk without the sun. Why'd you have to turn off all that sunshine? Oh, baby, please come back or you'll break my heart for me. 'Cause I don't wanna walk without you.